first two I will read the English, and the third we will do as usual. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Text Number 40, Translation. My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all the living entities may thus become happy because of me. So Lord Shiva is speaking to his wife, Bhavani, also known as Parvati. Text number 41. Srila Shukdev Goswami continued. After informing Bhavani in this way, Lord Shiva began to drink the poison, and Bhavani, who knew perfectly well the capabilities of Lord Shiva, gave him her permission to do so. Text number 42. Tathakaratali kritya yati hala halam visham apakshayan mahadeva kripaya bhutabhavanam tathakaratali kritya yati hala halam visham apakshayan mahadeva kripaya bhuta bhavana tathakaratali kritya yati hala halam visham apakshayan mahadeva kripaya bhuta bhavana. Please chant. Ladies, please. Tataha. Excuse me. Thereafter. Karatali Pritya. Taking in his hand. Yapi. Widespread. Halahalam. Called Halahala. Visham. Poison. Abakshyat. Drink. Mahadeva. Lord Shiva. Kripaya. Out of compassion. Bhuta Bhavana. For the welfare of all living entities. Translation and purport. Translation. Thereafter, Lord Shiva, who is dedicated to auspicious, benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm, and what did he do? Yes, he drank it. Just want to see if everybody's awake. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although there was such a great quantity of poison that it spread all over the universe, Lord Shiva had such great power that he reduced the poison to a small quantity so that he could hold it in his palm. One should not try to imitate Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva can do whatever he likes. But those who try to imitate Lord Shiva by smoking ganja and other poisonous things will certainly be killed because of such activities. Omagyana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurve namaha. I was born of the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance to lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. So here we have Lord Shiva performing a compassionate act for everyone in the entire universe. This poison, which has arisen from the churning of the ocean of milk, its fumes were spreading here, there, and everywhere. And sometimes persons wonder, well, if they did, why didn't Lord Vishnu, who certainly has the power to dispel them, to dissolve them, why didn't he dissolve them? Why do they have to go to Mount Kailash and have Lord Shiva dissolve them? Sometimes persons who do not have understanding and have not read the purports of Srila Prabhupada, especially people who try to understand Krishna and the Bhagavatam without the proper authorities coming into cyclic succession, it becomes incomprehensible, and they may come to a faulty conclusion that, well, maybe Vishnu just didn't have the power. Maybe Lord Shiva had more power than him. This is an erroneous conclusion, of course, but unless you read these purports and understand them, and understand what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur purports, then it makes no sense. And as I mentioned in my previous class, the only reason that they went to Lord Shiva, the only reason that Lord Vishnu encouraged the demigods to go to Lord Shiva is he wanted to give the credit to Lord Shiva. It's mentioned straight here. This is not a speculation on my part. It's right here. And that's the nature of Lord Vishnu. It's the nature of Lord Krishna. And I mentioned that, and I took a whole class last time to indicate how appreciative the Supreme Lord is of any little service that his devotee performs. It can be the smallest. It can be the simplest. Nonetheless, because it is devotional service, because it is a way of serving the Lord, as opposed to serving Maya, serving the material energy, the Lord is always pleased and will double and quadruple over and over his blessings to that person. So much does he love his devotee. So much does he want his devotees to come back. So much does he want his devotees to be free of the miseries which are the effect of living in the material world with an ignorance and trying to act upon the illusions that one acquires as a result of the ignorance that he lives in. So the Lord is eager, a billion zillion times more eager than us, to get us back home. For that reason, he performed the supreme act of compassion by sending Srila Prabhupada to this material world from his comfortable position of hearing and chanting endlessly. And he came down here to help us, to enable us, to arrange for us to go back home, back to Godhead. This, of course, is the compassion of the Supreme Lord upon all of us, just as the Supreme Lord is showing compassion upon Lord Shiva. One may say compassion, he's going to drink poison, that's compassion. But for Lord Shiva, it's not a problem. It's quite easy, because he has, as it's mentioned in the previous report, Bhavani knew that he had the capacity to drink that poison, that he was unaffected by material energy, and that he could dissolve the poisonous effects so that it would not affect him in the least. So the Lord sends Srila Prabhupada down to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to write these incredibly great, wonderful books, and not only to have us read them, study them, and learn them, and understand them through these marvelous purports, but to encourage us, to inspire us to go out and share this mercy, which is the mercy of Krishna, with everyone and anyone whom you see. This, of course, is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whether a person is rich or poor, whether he's tall or short, whether he's a Muslim, whether he's a Jew, whether he's a Catholic, or whether he's an atheist, it doesn't matter. We give out the mercy everywhere. And if they take it, so far, so good. And if they don't, that's their problem. But our business, whether they curse us, whether they praise us, or whether they're indifferent to us, is irrelevant. What's relevant is that we do the duty that Lord Chaitanya wants us to do, which is to bring those persons back to the beloved Divine Father, who is waiting for them to give his blessings to them and to welcome everyone and anyone back into the eternal world, assuming that they achieve the necessary purity which is required for that. So a simple process was initiated, and that is the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. And I could really see how this process works. This kirtan that we just had, which was led by the former Ganesh, but it is now Gopalananda, incredible, wonderful. So many devotees jumping and dancing and clapping, stomping their feet, turning and twirling. I just sit back in awe and I say, wow, this mantra has so much potency. Let that mantra, let it pass through me. Let me dance, let me jump, let me clap, let me speak. Let the mantra do everything through me. I'm saying, this is so wonderful. It's so true. It's so pure. It's so great. And it is truly lovable. So all of you who were dancing, actually you were inspiring my devotional service. And I was thinking, wow, this is so pleasing to Krishna. How can I even speak in a fashion which would even come up to what they were doing? They're jumping and they're dancing and they're going around in circles. This was just so enjoyable and fulfilling to my soul. So I thank you all very much for doing that. And please continue. Don't let it down. Sometimes persons say, well, maybe it's a little artificial. Don't worry. You know what Prabhupada used to say? Artificial will become true if you go on doing it. How does it become true? Because Krishna gives you his blessings. This person doesn't even have any love for me, he's saying. This person is indifferent to me. This person doesn't even care for the mantra. But look, he's still trying. So let me bless him for trying. And the blessing comes how? You begin to feel in the mood. You want to do it. You love the devotees. You try to inspire the devotees. You receive inspiration from them. And all in all, the person who didn't care, who was not interested, becomes ultimately a great, wonderful devotee. I've seen this happen. And in even my own personal case, sometimes I would come into this room and I would wonder, what's the point? I don't feel that. Maybe let's go out on the street, watch the cars go by and chant horrible Hare Krishna. But no, I said, maybe I can look at some of the faces of the devotee and get a little inspired. And that's exactly what would happen. Some of the singers, you know, when they sing with enthusiasm, eagerness, with full-out resonance in their voices, how can you be indifferent? It's impossible. It just sparks something within the heart. And you start to sing, you start to dance, you start to chant. The amazing thing to me is that, you know, I come before the deities. All of us come to the deities. I come with millions and millions of sins on my head from the past. Maybe billions and trillions. And yet, the most compassionate act that I see is that the Lord sits on his vyasasan, on his altar, and he doesn't walk off looking at such a filthy person. And I'm wondering, how does he do it? I couldn't handle that. Never. Sometimes I see a devotee, you know, he comes and he has the wrong attitude, or he looks like he's unbathed, and I'm ready to walk away. I come with billions and trillions of sins on my head, and he sits there with a smile on his face, giving blessings. What can be more compassionate? What can be more loving? What can be more kind? What can be more sweet? Who in his right mind would not want to worship such a great, glorious, wonderful, lovable, loving Lord as Lord Dwarkadish and Mother Rukmini? Hari Bol. Really, they are our true mothers and fathers, and we are very blessed. And again, it comes back to the mercy of Krishna, manifest through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And originally, when I first came here, I just saw devotees jumping up and down and clapping. I said, what is all this going on? And then gradually, as you begin to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and a little bit of purification takes place, and you begin to feel the buzz, if you will, of the mantra. You begin to feel the thrill of the mantra, the joy of the mantra, and then you begin to, your feet start to going up. In spite of the fact that I have swollen ankles and swollen calves and feet, in spite of that fact, the feet are moving. How? What is the mystery of this? I don't understand it. But that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of Lord Krishna, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can make you as you can never imagine. And that's what this is. It's basically a place where we're all being remanufactured from the manufacture of Maya to the manufacture of Krishna. To go from unhappies to true happies. This is what it's about. So, coming back to this verse, as we can see that Lord Shiva, he has just drunk the poison. And this is, again, an act of compassion. And it teaches us, it guides us, it helps us, that as Lord Shiva is taking the poison to prevent or to help everyone in the universe to go on living so that he can pursue his spiritual activities or even his material activities, and he's doing this as an act of compassion. It's a sacrifice. And he holds it in his throat for a little while. And as he does, his throat becomes blue. And for that reason, he's also known as Nilakanta, which is the blue-throated one. And it reminds us, when we see the paintings, the pictures of Lord Shiva with this blue swatch on his throat, that he performed a magnificent sacrifice for everyone in this universe and thought nothing of it. He did not look to be praised. He did not look to be honored. He did not look to be glorified. All he wanted to do was what? Serve his spiritual master, who was Lord Vishnu. In another incarnation, Lord Vishnu was Lord Ram. And that is the name Lord Shiva chants night and day. Ram, 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 Ram. Over and over again. So he wanted to do a loving service. So nothing is beyond, nothing is too much for a devotee who wants to please his spiritual master. Sometimes we have to go through hell and high water. Some of the stories that Madhavisa, who was sitting in the back, told me about some of the things the devotees went through in the early days before this temple was established is absolutely mind-blowing. I think he had mentioned to me that the temple was the inside of a bank. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was the inside of a bank, was it on Hollywood Boulevard? Anyway, it was that area. And then for some reason or other, because of the cooking, they were kicked out and they were on the street with nowhere to go. Just to depend on the pure mercy of the Supreme Lord, the mercy of the spiritual master. And who came along? A little old lady. And she came and she said, what are all you people doing out here? And then Madhavisa, he explained the situation. And I, correct me if I'm wrong, she said, but why don't you come with me? She says, and she did she bring them to her, was it her house that she brought everybody to? Yeah? Yeah. So there you are. Here, helpless, dependent, thrown out of the little temple that they had. But who is there to protect? Who is there to guide? Krishna sent the little old lady to bring the devotee to her house. And little by little, from there on, things got better and better and better. They stuck and they stayed. They didn't go away. So whenever the temptation comes to any and all of us, stick and stay, never go away. That's my motto, and I was giving class to the bhaktas just a few days ago, and I said, please memorize this, stick and stay and never go away. And dream it, think it, don't stop it. And you cannot help but be Krishna conscious because you're in the environment where Krishna is being broadcast night and day. And you're in the association of devotees jumping and dancing and clapping and preaching and praying and going out and into... You're in a transcendental state. People say, hey, fool, get away from me. Yes, I'll get away, but take a book. I don't want your book. Please take it. No, I don't want your book. And then a devotee gets down on his knees and says, please, I want you to be benefited. I had an experience similar to this sometime when I was distributing. The guy looked at me and walked away. It was in a parking lot. It was a Safeway, I think. It's in Safeway, not there anymore, but it was in the Fox Hill Mall. So I was almost on my knees, and then he stood there watching me for 1 hour distributing. And he just had his arms crossed, you know, like in an aggressive stance. And he was watching. I was giving out, but I was distributing back to Godhead in those days. So, and after about an hour and a half, I kept glancing over to him. What is he standing there? The FBI or CIA? What's he doing there? What's his game? So he came over to me in between the last distribution, and he came over. And there were tears flowing down his cheeks. And he says, I am so sorry. I'm very sorry. Please, take this $10 bill. I said, please, take this back to Godhead. Deal. So he took the back to Godhead. I took the $10, and we were both happy. It's amazing how just watching, many of you have had similar experiences. It's not something original or unique. Because I've heard other devotees have similar experiences. They watch the devotees and they become purified just from the point of view of watching the devotees or hearing the devotees. And it's contagious. And something strikes the core of the heart or a chord in the heart. It reminds me a little of this wonderful verse that is in the Bhagavatam. That's 4:20:25. It says, when the transcendental sound from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet into the ears of a non-devotee, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you, O Lord. Many of us have read that wonderful verse, and we all pray, we all beg, we all cry out to have our speech so impregnated or so saturated with the aroma of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, so that when we speak, so that when we act, people will automatically. This is Srila Prabhupada. He sat down in Thompson Square Park and started to chant, and people came over. People wanted to hear. People began chanting with him, and it all became a very big, happy activity. And it just grew.
Because he, through what he was emanating, he, through what he was projecting, his love, his purity, his affection for Krishna, his dedication to Krishna, his devotion to Krishna, it all came flowing through and you could not resist it. It was impossible, irrefusable, so to speak. And devotees came. Devotees became made. Before you knew it, there were... And Prabhupada was cooking for these devotees. He was 70 years old. He was cooking for them. He was treating them like his own grandchildren. And then later on, they saw, little by little, they saw the purity of his love. That it was something so unique, so unbelievable, so unfathomable, so unequal, unparalleled. Something they had never, ever experienced. And what did they want to do? They wanted to be a part of that. It's natural. It's like if you take some very tasty cake, you don't want to stop there, do you? You want to taste more and more and more because it's so good. So when you taste the pure words of the pure Vaishnavas, you want to hear more and more and more and more because it's just so delectable, so enjoyable, so fulfilling, so satisfying. The soul, as it's mentioned in this particular verse, remembers, it's rekindled to remember that there's something more to life, something greater in life, something better in life that I'm missing out on, and this person is somehow stimulating me to want to know about it, to want to engage in it, to become more familiar with it, to become more interested in it. So I have to stay. I have no choice. We need to pray for that kind of potency. It's not going to come by itself. Yes, we chant and we will all become more and more and more advanced. But to get that very special mercy, we have to be begging, Srila Prabhupada, please inject me with that special mercy that you had, which Krishna injected into you, so that we can affect and we can engage and we can inspire so many, not hundreds, not thousands, not millions, but billions of people who are suffering out there and need this. Because if I just speak under my own endeavor, they will just walk away. But if I speak as a manifestation of your endeavor, how can they walk away? They will be spellbound. They'll be stunned. They'll be electrified. And many of us were. So, this is the compassion of the pure devotee. Such compassion is something we need to pray for, we need to yearn for, we need to beg for. And if we do that, Krishna sees that this person wants to do above and beyond, more than just what he's expected to do. So that mercy will come. Ask and it shall be given to you, says the New Testament. So it will. Of course, we have to ask for good things, and that is a good thing. To simply want to share and spread Krishna consciousness here and there and all over the world. That was one thing. Now, another point I would want to take is this one, and that is that the imitating, Srila Prabhupada makes a very big point in his purport, that we should not try to imitate Lord Shiva. He smokes a ganja. In fact, one devotee here, he says, well, you know, in fact, I get this argument often, well, Lord Shiva smokes ganja, why can't I smoke it? So if I say, well, you're not Lord Shiva, so what does that mean? That's just a name. That's just a person. I'm a person. I've got a name. But why can't I smoke it? I said, you don't have the purity or the power that he has. As here, it shows very clearly in the book when he swallows hala hala, to him it's hallelujah. So it doesn't affect him. It doesn't disturb him. It doesn't rattle him. It doesn't shake him. It doesn't affect him in the slightest. Because he is Lord Shiva, and he has the power over the material energy. What is material energy? It affects everyone in this world who's a materialist. Everyone who's in ignorance. Everyone who's got the illusion of thinking that he is the body. Thinking he is the body, thinking that with the body, through the body, he will lord it over this material world and become a hero, become a captain, become a lord. That's the person who... who will be affected by the material energy. That's the person who will be affected by ganja. Ganja is marijuana, for those of you who haven't found out yet. So, otherwise called in circles, Mary Janes and the like. So, anyway, the important thing is a lot of people, now today, in spite of the fact that there are so many bad side effects of marijuana, in spite of that fact, it's being legalized, and two states already have legalized it. I think California is going to become the third. I think it's going to be on the voting platform in November. Yes, Colorado. Now, you can go into stores. It's open city. Just walk in and buy what you want for recreation. Not, we're not talking medical now. Medical is another matter. Sometimes it can benefit a person, sometimes not. But it's medical, you see. And but we're talking recreation, fun. Just like you go into the liquor store and you buy a bottle of Sneaky Pete or whatever it's called. VO. I've forgotten the names of those things. It's been so many years since I even looked at a bottle of, they called it schnapps in my religion. So anyway, so what are some of the harmful effects? And so many people are inhaling. They're inhaling this into their lungs. It's more dangerous than even regular cigarettes, the tars that are in it. So I want to read just a few of the some of the dangers of it, in case any of you get tempted. Some of your old buddies or some of your old girlfriends come walking by and say, "Hey, come on, let's go outside for a few blocks away and let's take a few hits." So here's why you shouldn't. And okay, these are some of the behavioral changes that may be symptoms of marijuana addiction, and they include. Distorted perceptions. Of course, when you're miserable and life is horrible, well, that's what you want. You don't want to see the reality. You don't want to see truth. You don't want to see life as it is. You want to see it as you want it to be. So you have a distorted perception and you live in a dream world. Distorted perceptions, impaired coordination, difficulty in thinking and problem solving, ongoing problems with learning and memory. I remember, I don't know if I told this, I made one experiment in my life. I was a writer, you know, so I wanted to write down the notes. What do these people get out of smoking this marijuana? So I joined a few of the buddies. I used to live on Muscle Beach here, and they said, "Why don't you come on? You have a ball, and we'll speak great philosophy." Well, I'll go up there. I'll make some notes. So I took it, and I got what they call high, which to me was low. Because first thing is that I got very, very hungry for sweets. All I wanted to do is where's the candy? You know. Second thing is that my perceptions were not as they normally were. When I saw the faces, they looked very different than what I had seen them when I was in my normal consciousness. And then I began to write down exactly what I was experiencing, and this really floored me, and that I wrote down, for example, this marijuana is having an effect upon me which I have never, and now I said, what was the first few words? I had forgotten the first few words. I went back, read the first few words, and then continued on reading them and writing one or two. Again, I forgot the first few words. Total, just like it says here, forgetfulness, memory. Becomes disturbed. Ongoing problems with learning and memory. Red, blurry, bloodshot eyes. Constant mucus-filled cough. Rapid heartbeat. Hunger, referred to as munchies. Dry mouth. You all know the munchies. I mean, not all. Anxiety, paranoia, or fear. That's if you're addicted, not maybe the first hit. Poor memory, poor coordination, slow reaction time, loss of control, addiction. Abusing marijuana can result in problems with memory, learning, mood, and social behavior. It can interfere with family, school, work, and other activities. Research has shown that marijuana's adverse impact on learning and memory can last for days or weeks after the acute effects of the drug wear off. As a result, a person who smokes marijuana every day may be functioning at a reduced intellectual level all the time. Concluding, additionally, when long-term marijuana abusers try to stop using the drug, they often suffer with a number of unpleasant symptoms which make it difficult to quit. The desire to stop these withdrawal symptoms leads many people back into ongoing marijuana use. More problems? These are the symptoms that lead them back. Irritability, sleeplessness, decreased appetite, which can trigger disordered eating, anxiety, drug craving. Marijuana is usually smoked as a cigarette referred to as a joint or in a pipe. It is also smoked in blunts, which are cigars that have been emptied of tobacco and refilled with marijuana. Since the blunt retains the tobacco leaf used to wrap the cigar, this mode of delivery combines marijuana's active ingredients with nicotine from the tobacco. Cancer of the lungs is also linked to marijuana use because unfiltered marijuana smoke has more carcinogens than cigarettes. I hope we're convinced. That's just the beginning. So people are risking, truly risking their lives. They don't know what they're doing. And if the whole country starts to go on marijuana, you can just say bye-bye to this country. Because what will happen is many people who have brain power, who have understanding, who have energy, who have zest, who have ambition, want to achieve things, that will not help. All it will do is help them escape, and in that escape, they will become more chained, more bound, and more addicted. So, therefore, the point I'm trying to make is this, is that what we have to offer the people in general, we have a real, true escape. The escape is transcendental bliss. The escape is attunement with an association with the Supreme Lord, association with the pure spiritual master. And when we associate with them, the consciousness, like a thermometer, it keeps going up and up and up and up. And it reaches a state of transcendence in which the problems, the pressures, the stresses of the material world have virtually no effect upon us. Prabhupada was put through so many problems and pressures and stresses, but he just chanted Hare Krishna, and this showed us that when you are transcendentally situated, those things don't bother you internally. Sometimes he would get angry, but that was just to inspire us, that was just to motivate us, to let us know we're doing wrong. Don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. Use your brains. And he would use certain expressions, nonsense, like that. So, therefore, it's important that we become more and more Krishna conscious. And when we manifest this Krishna consciousness, it's in our glance, it's in our smile, it's in our hands, the way we hold them. Srila Prabhupada used to hold his hands so gently and believe. You remember how he used to give out a cookie? He didn't give it to you like this. He didn't shove it into your hand. He just held it very gently, and he would just give it to you. And you would feel like that. It's a great, like the Lord himself was giving it to you. So, main point is that the more Krishna conscious we become, and how do we become Krishna conscious? By thinking of Krishna all the time. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, Krishna says. Become my devotee, offer obeisances, worship me, thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. And he says to Arjuna on the chariot, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. And at the same time, perform your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will come to me without a doubt. That was a promise. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. You surrender 2%, I give you 200%. You surrender 4%, I give you 400%, Krishna says. As they surrender, I will reward you. What is the ultimate reward? Krishna gives us himself. He says to the gopis of Vrindavan, there is no way that I can ever repay you for the love you have shown me, which you have given to me. Look what you have given up. You don't even care whether your relatives completely ostracize you or don't let you back into your homes. You've left them because you care more for me than your children, care more for me than your mother, than your father, because you know who I am. I am the Supreme Lord. You know I am the one who will give you the highest, the greatest, the best love that you can ever receive, because it is pure, transcendental love. You know this. I can never repay you. Now, just be satisfied with your continued devotional service and receiving the endless amount of bliss that you're experiencing every moment. So, there it is. Krishna says, I can't repay you. But he repays with himself. And what is that self? What is Krishna? He's pure bliss, pure peace, pure knowledge, pure love, pure confidence. That's what he gives us. And as we become, and this is what we saw in Srila Prabhupada. He was so courageous, so faithful, so wonderful, so powerful. He manifested all this. It's not like, you know, just talking about. He manifested it, and we should be praying, Srila Prabhupada, please help me to become more and more like you. I don't want to imitate you. I just want to follow in your footsteps as faithfully as I am capacitated to do that. Please, I beg for your mercy. Please help me. I want to do so much more. I'm doing so little. I owe you so much more. Please enable me to do more, because I am not fully satisfied with which I am doing. You deserve so much more. So please bless me to offer more than what I have. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'll take some questions now. Yes, Prabhuji. Somebody bring the microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for your enthusiasm. Rupa Goswami explains that enthusiasm is something that nurtures bhakti, and thank you very much for a very enthusiastic class. Just one comment, not about what you spoke about, but about the previous verse, which I found a little intriguing. Although Lord Shiva is Mahadeva, certainly, as far as independent personalities are concerned, he is one of the greatest personalities. In spite of that, before undertaking this endeavor, he seeks permission from his wife. This I thought was very intriguing, very astonishing. And it sort of brings back the point about, I was trying to make the other day about how we should always seek advice before, or sanction or blessings before we do things. So I thought it was a point I just wanted to make concerning that, how that was done. You know, I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, so was I. In fact, yeah. I had planned to talk about it today, but I just never got to it. I was going to just add to the point that you're making. This shows the breadth of heart that Lord Shiva has now. He could take the position that, well, you know, I'm the man, male, I'm your husband, you worship me, you glorify me, you garland me, you honor me, I'm the superior, you're the inferior, and therefore I don't have to ask anything from you, because it's you who have to ask permission from me, because I'm the lead, you know? But no, that's not the way a good marriage works. Any of you who've been married or who are married, men must show respect to his wife, no matter how superior he may be intellectually, and I'm not saying that Lord Shiva is even superior to Bhavani intellectually, but he respects her opinion. And if she has anything to say to the contrary, he's ready to listen to it. And if it's something which he feels is superior to what he had concluded, he will accept it. That's the broad-mindedness that he has. There's no question of male and female in that transcendental state. It is simply spirit soul, super soul, super soul. And whatever is coming from my wife can be coming from the super soul and might be advice to me, maybe instruction for me, and I will accept it. But she had nothing to say because she had full confidence in her husband. But the important point is that he showed his respect for her. And then she gave her permission. He didn't start until she gave her permission. It wasn't just something that it was lip service. Well, let me have your permission, and then she's starting to think. No, and then he goes on. No, he waits for her permission, and after he gets her permission, he shows her that yes, that permission counted something for him, and that's what makes for good, healthy, wonderful relations. Showing respect to each other. Wife shows respect to her husband, and husband shows respect to the wife above and beyond. I am a male, you are a female. We are children of God. And as children of God, we are trying to interrelate and serve the Supreme Lord. And in serving the Supreme Lord, we serve better together than independently and individually. Okay? Like Prabhupada mentions, put all the matchsticks together and look how strong, you can't break them. But you just take them independently, you can break each one like that. So when we work together cooperatively, and we're going to have to do a lot of cooperation, I can look at Savas. He's got this Rath Yatra coming up, and he becomes super transcendental. He could never do this if he wasn't. Endless smiles on his face. I just want to look at him, and I immediately get blissed out. So if I really were a true devotee, I would do more than getting blissed out. I'd help out a little more. But in any event, he will need a lot of help, and he will need a lot of obedience. Obedience is a great quality of devotees. And if he says, please do this, we need it, then just do it because it's done. That's his favorite phrase. Do it. Shut up. Do it. And we get it done. And that's how the Rath Yatra gets done every year. And it's done so wonderfully, so beautifully. And so many people come who don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. They get the opportunity to learn what it's about. They get books. They meet devotees. And some of them become devotees. Okay, so I think I've gone way over. Thank you so much for your kind reception. Hare Krishna.